Michael Ferris Smith was a successful short fiction writer when he decided it was time to tackle a novel. The aftermath of Hurricane Katrina stirred his imagination.
I'm from South Mississippi. Have family there, have family and friends on the coast and in New Orleans. And that's what got me thinking about it. I originally wanted to write a post-Katrina novel, but I didn't like manipulating the reality of that situation. But I kept thinking about it.
The idea that took shape imagines a gulf constantly roiling with one hurricane after the other, creating a Hobbesian landscape under siege by Mother Nature, without functioning systems, abandoned by authority, and inhabited only by a few desperate people. In this passage, Smith explains life below the line.
It had been 613 days since the Declaration of the Line, a geographical boundary drawn 90 miles north of the coastline from the Texas-Louisiana border across the Mississippi coast to Alabama. A geographical boundary that said, "We give up. The storms can have it. No more rebuilding and no more reconstruction." Those that decided to stay had decided to stay at their own risk. There was no law, no service, no offering, no protection. Residents had been given a month's notice that the line was coming, and a mandatory evacuation order had been decreed, and help was offered until the deadline, and then you were on your own if you stayed behind. The line had been drawn, and everything below was considered primitive until the hurricane stopped, and no one knew if that day was ever coming.
One of those who stays below the line is the novel's central character, Cohen, who subsists on a few canned goods and reads paperbacks by kerosene lamp. And why does he stay below the line?
It's a combination of things. He's extraordinarily heartbroken. His wife, who was pregnant with their first child, is killed during one of the mandatory emergency evacuations. And then he has this attachment to land, like a lot of Southerners do. It's family land, it's land he grew up on, it's generational, and he's just not ready to let go and leave, and he feels like he's going to stay and brave it and survive in his isolation because that's all he really cares about anymore. Essentially, he's lost everything he loves.
The story follows Cohen's encounters with other survivors, the marauders who prey on the less fortunate, and the humanity he experiences in this desolate terrain. An important subplot of Rivers is climate change. While Michael Smith says he did not write the novel as an environmental statement, early on he realized that the more frequent and more violent storms predicted by scientists had become a central character in the story.
I wrote the first 15 or 20 pages, and I felt like I had something interesting to work with, and I handed it to a friend of mine who I trust as a reader, and his immediate response was, "The thing that makes this story interesting and scary to me already in the first 15 pages is I can imagine this scenario happening one day." And I think that probably sat in the back of my mind, and I think even more so now that the novel has been written and is being reviewed and is being talked about, and hearing the things people are saying and reacting to in terms of the weather and what the landscape looks like and what it might become, I don't think you can ignore it. I hate to say that, but I just don't believe you can ignore it.
Rivers, a novel by Michael Ferris Smith, will be published September 10th, right in the heart of hurricane season. For WBHM, I'm Greg Bass.